Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Charisse. Sacred Leadership with Charisse. My name is Charisse Alexander, and thank you so much for joining us on the Inspire Choices Network for today, where we are continuing in this vein of the workspace and how do we become, you know, sacred leaders and the leaders of tomorrow. So today what we're talking about is creating joy in the workplace. And I know that for some folks out there, it's going to be like creating joy in the workplace. Like, what is that about? It's such an interesting topic, or maybe it's not interesting. Maybe it's like bizarre. But anyways, I've been thinking a lot about my own journey here in West Africa. And for any of you that have been to West Africa, Nigeria specifically, it is an environment that is a lot. It is a lot mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, like your vision, your sight, your like all of it. It's just constantly overwhelming. And I think that I've been using these last 7-8 years trying to like create this joy within my space, because I've never worked anywhere where that actually had to be work, if that makes sense. And I'll give you a little bit of background before people are just like, oh, you're just totally tearing it down. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that if you've ever been in an environment such as this, there's so many things that can contribute to the environment maybe not being joyful. So I was thinking about it and reflecting a little bit about my own journey. And I thought, you know what, this is kind of part of the journey of being a leader. And how do you create joyful moments, days, weeks, months, years, all the things in the workspace? So let's dive in. There's quite a bit to talk about. And where I'm going to actually start is maybe a little bit out of left field, but I'm going to go there anyways, and I'm going to share a little bit of what it is that I did when I finally started to, I think, figure out how to do this, at least for myself. And I think the easiest way to maybe segue into this is talking about like your home. And when you're like, you know, you buy a house, you're out there, you're looking for a house, and you walk into a house. And for those of you who have bought houses or rented houses, you know, when you walk into a house and you're just like, this is not it. And you can look at all the physical things that don't work with the house, not enough light, you know, it's dated, it's got ugly carpet, whatever the things might be. But there's also something very intangible that you can't necessarily put your finger on. So let's say you find the perfect house, right? It's got good numbers. You know, if you're into numerology, it's got great feng shui. It's got all the things that you think it should have, but there's something just not quite right about it and you can't put a name on it. And that's where energy comes in. And so that's actually where we're going to start when we talk about creating joy in the workplace. So one of the things that I think working here has, you know, come into my awareness on is like the energy of a space absolutely has an impact on the folks that are within that space. And so one of the things I first started doing, and it was interesting because I was doing it quietly and I was doing it only in my own space. I wasn't wanting to have my beliefs and my ideologies kind of spill over into the workplace. But what I had done is at the time I had an office that was like on the main floor and it was, or on the second floor, and it was like, it was great. It was perfect. It had really great windows. I loved it. But the energy wasn't quite right. So I had come in, I think, on a weekend, like on a Saturday. It was either a Friday night or a Saturday. And I had my sage and I had my Palo Santo and I have like all the things that I would use to like energetically raise the vibration in the place. So for those of you who might not be familiar with like cleansing a space energetically, that's exactly what I did. So, you can get sage at any of your local metaphysical stores. It is commonly used and it is extremely widespread. And simply all that you do is you light it up and it's going to create smoke. And you just go around the room and do not forget to like catch those corners and those cracks and those crevices because energy can get stuck and kind of linger in a space. I always like to go around the doors, around the windows, and be particularly mindful. If you've got metal doors, maybe it's not such an issue, but think about wood. Wood really does hold on to and absorb energy. So make sure to like really go around the area, and sometimes if you have it, you can use like a fan to like waft the smoke so that it really just kind of settles. And somebody had said to me a long time ago that you can see actually how stagnant the energy is in a space. You have to, oh, so, sorry, I forgot to tell you, you got to open a window because you got to give it somewhere to go. But somebody had said to me many years ago, you can see actually how much energy is stagnant in an environment by how much smoke is actually being generated from the sage. And so I actually started paying attention to this over the years. And if I happen to be like cleansing my home or my workspace and the smoke is really sitting, even with the windows open, then I know that I have a lot of stale, stagnant energy. So that's step number one, is use sage or some kind of cleansing type of smudge to like energetically kind of, and this is not going to deal with like really, really heavy things, but it will remove like stagnant, kind of stuck energy. So that's number one. Number two, after you've used something like sage, then you are going to go and you're going to buy or you're going to use something called Palo Santo. Now, Palo Santo is what you use to like bring good vibes in. So sage removes stagnant or lower vibes, and Palo Santo will, bring in like lighter vibes. Now, if you are familiar with what Palo Santo smells like, it is hands down one of my favorite smells. It brings me joy whenever I light up Palo Santo. And I should say that both of these, particularly Palo Santo, it's a little more difficult to burn because it's wood and it's a real slow, slow burn. So take your time. Don't rush yourself. So once you've done your sage cleansing, then you are going to move into Palo Santo and you're going to go through the exact same kind of process and you're going to use it around doors and windows and in cracks and crevices and things like that to like just kind of really cleanse the space energetically. And I promise you, after you've done that, I literally just did this on the weekend and I was just like, oh, I was going to sleep. I did it in my bedroom. I was like, oh, I just feel like so much better going to sleep already because whatever was in there was like, and it's both of these smells are very strong. So you can't miss when you are using it. So first step, sage. Second step, Palo Santo. Now, while you're doing this, the other thing that you want to do is you actually want to like set an intention for the space. So, setting an intention means like, if it's your home, what are you doing? You're almost like calling in energies that are going to support what it is that you want to bring into the environment. So, because we're talking about the workspace, the things that I would probably put out there would be things like, I want people to feel good. I want people to feel productive. I want people to feel happy and engaged. I want there to be, conflicts come up, but if there are conflicts, then that we're going to be able to like see eye to eye and find a common ground and move forward. So whatever those intentions are, that is what you are actually doing. So I would do it at the very beginning of your cleansing, and then, kind of in the middle again when you're dealing with the Palo Santo, and then at the end as well. And then that way you're like really, really kind of putting yourself into it. Now, the thing about intentions is like you can think about it like manifesting. People often think that manifesting is just thinking it. No, it's not. It's way more than that. Manifesting becomes very, very, very powerful when you add energy to it. I say it often. Words have meaning. Thoughts have meaning. They have value and they have weight. So it's kind of like, it's really important to make sure that when you're doing this, that you are in a good space yourself. So if you're feeling super emotional, or if there's something chaotic going on in the planets, like, you know, just make sure that you're feeling calm, centered, grounded, like clear-headed, like just very good emotionally and energetically. Because the intention that you're putting out there is like really, I'm somebody who really likes to visualize and feel into things. So I will do this. And that's why I said I try to do it like on Friday evenings or Saturdays when there's nobody in the environment around me, because in that way, I'm not being weird and self-conscious about what other people are thinking. Although, interestingly enough, what had happened once when I was doing this is somebody in the office came flying into my office and he was like, "Are you burning incense?" And I was like, "No, I'm not burning incense, but I am saging." So, you know, and I just kind of carried on. And he was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." And I was kind of surprised because I didn't expect that. But getting back to my point around intention, make sure that you're like in a really great space for yourself personally before you move into this. Because when you pair your energy with intention, it becomes extremely powerful. So when I talk about what you visualize, right, you're going to add the feeling into that. And the feeling is like, can you recall a time when you worked somewhere and it was joyful? Like you loved it. You couldn't wait to get to work and like see your work friends and like, you know, kibitz around the water cooler or whatever it was. That's what I mean when I say put the energy into it. So you're going to recall that experience that really lifts you. And that is the intention that you're going to put into it. It's like, oh, I remember this time when I was feeling this. And that is the power of manifesting. So equally, you know, I'm sure that you've all had an experience where manifesting goes the other way, or negative intentions go the other way, where you get stuck on a thought loop and you're recalling all the old feelings, and then you continue to perpetuate this cycle. So we're not trying to do that. We're trying to create joy in the workspace. So to recap this process of first things first, which is what we're ultimately doing here, is we're lifting the vibration in that particular space. So you can start, if you want to see the effectiveness of it, start in like, you know, if you have your own office, start in your own office, like as in your own four walls with a door kind of office. If you have like a common area, like, you know, a kitchen or things like that. Now, obviously, I know that people can have some sensitivities around this thing, but around scents and things like that. So obviously get clearance if you need it. But start somewhere where you can test the theory if you feel like you're somebody that needs to test the theory. But I do this frequently enough that people do genuinely enjoy being in my workspace and even in my home space, because I'm constantly trying to remove or lift those heavier energies. So as we are getting close to going to break, we're just going to quickly recap what it is we're doing with this first piece in terms of creating joy within the workspace. Number one, you are going to cleanse with sage or something that is similar to help remove heavy or dense energy out of your space. Remember to open the windows so that energy has somewhere to go. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to use something like Palo Santo or lighter that is going to bring in positive vibes and just real feel good type of energies. And again, still keep the windows open. And then the third piece of that is while you are going through this entire process, what you are doing is you are putting your intention to it, visualizing what it is that you want to create, visualizing those positive things, like just, you know, people high-fiving, whatever it is. And that is where we are going to start with this piece of creating joy in the workplace. So as we are about to go to break, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the other things that we can do when we are trying to create joy within the workplace. And of course, this also can go for your home. You can also do all of these things when you are looking to create joy in your home. Now, before we go to break, I just want to remind you that we are now on the Inspired Choices Network, and we are so happy to be here. We are here weekly for your entertainment. And when we come back, we will move on to what next in creating joy in your workspace.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Charisse Alexander with On Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. And before we went to break, I was talking a little bit about how do we create joy in the workplace? So just to recap what I just covered before we went to break, the first thing you're going to do is raise the vibration of the environment. And the way that we're going to do that is utilizing sage, Palo Santo, and setting really positive intentions. So once we have energetically cleansed, the next thing that we're going to do is we are going to now kind of really get into the work of it. Now, if you think about joy in the workplace, and this is really more from the employer perspective, we ultimately all have to be responsible for our own joy. But as an employer or a leader, sometimes that means you have to kind of examine all the other things that are at play in the environment. So the question that I would pose here is like, okay, great. Now we've cleansed energetically or we've raised the vibration. Now what? And the reason why we kind of set the stage with like cleansing the energy is because what you're doing is you're lifting the vibration or lifting the energy within the workplace so that we can prepare, for lack of putting it a better way, the environment to support these other positive vibrations that are going on within people. That's ultimately what you're trying to do. And so it's like a staged or stepped type of process. So the first thing that I did when I was going through this process is I looked at myself first. Because I'm a firm believer that when you are a leader of an organization, what you see is a direct reflection of yourself as a leader. So, and it's unfortunate, but if fortunate or unfortunate, I guess it depends on what side of the coin you're looking at. But if you are looking at your environment, the business that you're building, the organization that you're really trying to grow, and you're seeing that people are not engaged, or you have high turnover, or people are just not happy, they're just complaining, they're late, all these kinds of things to me are indication that people are just not happy. And it's real easy to point the finger outwards, but really what I chose to do for myself was just kind of like go inward first and really look at myself as a leader and how was I showing up, and then get real critical. And I don't mean critical in like the way where we beat up on ourselves, but get real critical in terms of being constructive with myself. And I would have conversations with people around me wanting to understand, like, because, you know, there's this effort that you can put into being a leader. But if it's not being received, then there's obviously a disconnect. And the only way to really find that out is if people are giving you that feedback. So I think I've already said on this show, and you'll probably continue to hear me say it a lot, I have a policy where I will say to people, hold me accountable. I am not just saying that. I'm really imploring you, because I think that I'm doing an amazing job and I think that people are hearing me and they're feeling me and all this other kind of stuff. But the reality is like there can be a disconnect. And today, truth be told, is a beautiful example of that. So today I was, so I'm in one of those modes right now where I'm touching base. We've just come through, you know, basically 90 to 120 days of like really trying to shift the energy in this environment, in the workplace. And so I decided to have a very impromptu chat session with one of the folks that works with me. And so I just said to her, I'm like, you know, and I really tried to make it very comfortable for her. And I just said, you know, I'm really interested in getting feedback for how I'm showing up as a leader. And, you know, I'm trying to be all of these things. And when I say be, what I mean is I'm trying to really lead by example, but I just want to make sure that it's landing. So can you give me honest feedback? And she gave it to me. She said that, and it was actually really, really good feedback. And my feelings weren't hurt. That's a really good sign that the healing inner work that you're doing is on track, because I was not even triggered by a thing that she'd said. But what she'd said is that she felt, or some of the feedback was that I was not particularly interested in all parts of the business. And that she felt that that there was some favoritism that was going on. And I think that was it. Those were the two things. And so I reflected on that and I was like, okay, am I playing favorites? And so I spoke to her concerns. And the truth of the matter is like, I could see how people would think that I'm not playing favorites. And I'm sure that you can all appreciate that when you naturally have like a really good vibe with someone, it can look like that because you're really, really vibing with that person. But the point I'm getting at is that, you know, could I understand where this person was coming from? Absolutely. Was there truth in it? No, there wasn't. I don't have favorites. I can understand the perspective that folks were coming from, which in terms of like me maybe vibing more with people. But the reality is that when you have a hierarchical organization, you are going to interact with some people or departments more than you are others. So I could appreciate it, and I will certainly be more mindful of it to, you know, at least let these folks know in a way that like I am interested in what you're doing, but I'm also trying to respect and honor the boundaries of my colleagues and my counterparts and their departments, which is office politics. So, you know, there's a very real thing there. I can't go stepping on everybody else's toes, you know, to make other people feel great, because I still have to manage, you know, the relationships with my colleagues. So my point is that the first thing that we do when we are trying to, you know, raise the vibration and address joy in the workplace is we do have to look within ourselves. And so ultimately what I'm asking you or inviting you to do is, are there things that you can do for yourself as a leader in order to bring more joy into your experience? And one of the things that I found really, really helpful in this process as well was like doing the, like kind of highlighting my blind spots. So feedback from your staff is one, that's great. Feedback from your colleagues is also another really great way that you can kind of gauge what's going on. And then the other, there's a couple of other tools. There's one in particular that I really used this year, and it was really great because it highlighted a blind spot I didn't even know that I had, which was, I'd have to find it, and I'll try and get the information, but it's this test that you do that highlights what your saboteurs are. And you're probably wondering, like, why are you talking about all of these maybe kind of very logical and methodical things to like get to the root of joy? But the way that I went through this was like, I think I have to address the things that don't bring me joy so I can learn how to get to joy. Because once I can personally get to joy, then it's really easy actually to go out and spread joy, you know, in the day-to-day experience of your life. So getting back to the saboteurs exam or test, it was really helpful because it helped me to see the ways that I show up in any type of interaction, we'll say, where I was maybe sabotaging myself without quite realizing that I was doing it. And the number one saboteur for me was people pleasing. So, which wasn't surprising if I'm being really honest. But the reason why that's important to know is because it's really difficult to be authentic when you're just people pleasing to stroke your ego. And so how can you even begin to find joy if you are out there people pleasing to stroke this ego because of some story that's on loop? I mean, you see where this goes, right? So just let me recap that one more time. The reason why I go through the process of highlighting the things that feel like stumbling blocks, emotional blocks, we'll just say emotional blocks and not bringing me joy, is so that I can understand what those things are and then to methodically go about actually living my life in joy and experiencing it. So when I find it, and I will do my best to do so, I will share the information, but I found that it was very useful for myself. And I also shared this particular assessment with other members of our team, because I think that really part of being a strong leader is really being willing to like look at the parts of yourself. I mean, it honestly really all starts there. Being a strong leader in your personal life as well as in your professional life does really begin with you having a willingness to look in the mirror and face those parts of yourself that you might not like. Because as soon as you can actually have that courage to look at those parts of yourself that you don't like, you can begin to heal them. You can begin to tell yourself a different story, and you can then actually genuinely begin to live a life of joy and fulfillment and purpose. So now moving on, and I'm talking about these deeper issues because they're all part of the process, and it might not seem like it, but until you actually begin to really lean in and like engage with these parts of yourself, then you can't let the lighter parts come out in a full, vulnerable, and authentic way. So then before we go to the last piece of this entire process, I want to kind of touch on human resources. And I'm talking, yes, about the people in your organization, but I'm also talking about your human resource manager. Absolute critical part of any business is somebody who really has a passion for people and can balance, of course, and myself and Christina talked about this on a podcast we had done together, and she rightly said, human resources is easily one of the most challenging jobs because human beings are extremely challenging. Well, not challenging, complex. That's what I wanted to say. Human beings are extremely complex. So we were really fortunate. We were able to find a really talented human resource manager. And the reason why it's important is that at the end of the day, I need to be able to, put this stuff to my people in a way that they're going to be able to digest and really own and really lean into. And especially, you know, working in Nigeria, I'm very cognizant of the fact that it's possible, and this is me just being real, it's possible that the folks that I work with don't see me as one of them. I don't speak like them. I'm not entrenched in the culture in the way that they obviously are. And so there's automatically a disconnect. So when I was able to find a human resource manager that I could vibe with and that I could explain my vision to, and I could get on board with what I was trying to do, that made it so much easier because she was able to spin it in a way that the people could get behind. So just to kind of recap this particular segment before we go to break, the first thing that we want to do is we want to really look at ourselves as leaders and be really honest with the parts of ourselves that maybe we might have some not so great feelings about. We want to be honest. We want to be accountable and accept responsibility for the fact that, hey, maybe we haven't shown up the way that we have, that we need to, as like really a sacred leader. And then the other part of that is assessments are really helpful, especially saboteur assessments, because they really highlight your blind spots. So you can see and you can reflect on those situations and scenarios where perhaps you might not have been showing up in a vulnerable and authentic way. And then the last piece here that's really, really important is making sure that you have a really solid human resource manager. So we're about to go to break. And in the next segment, we're going to talk now actually about the people and how we help them find some joy. But if you're enjoying this show, please, please, please give me a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform that you listen to your podcast on. I would be extremely grateful, and this will assist in getting the information out to those that really need it. So we will be right back after this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I am Charisse Alexander, your host on Inspired Choices Network. And today we are talking about how do you create joy in the workplace. So if you're just joining us now, the first thing we talked about was energetically lifting the space. And we talked about utilizing things like sage, Palo Santo, and positive intention and manifestation to really begin to shift the energy either in your individual office or, if you have the freedom and the ability, the entire workspace, like the entire building that you are occupying. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was for leaders and C-suite execs, business owners that own the actual business and are responsible for guiding the ship of the business. The second thing that we talked about here was, you know, really beginning to do that inner work, right? And it seems like it's counterintuitive because you might think you might go the other way, but really what you're trying to do is, again, you're trying to create the container that can already hold that positive energy and joy and so on and so forth. And once you do that, then it'll be hopefully a smoother transition. So the second thing for the leader in you is to start to look at yourself and be courageous enough to face the parts of yourself that you might not be really proud of. And there's multitudes of ways that you can do that. But my personal favorite, of course, is self-inquiry. I inquire on myself all day, every day. The other thing that I really like to do and I encourage as a leader, and I welcome it genuinely, is, you know, soliciting feedback and creating a safe space for people to be very honest with some of your blind spots. And that feedback can come from either your staff or your counterparts and your colleagues. The third thing that you can do with that in terms of like facing those pieces of yourself that maybe need a little bit of work is doing a saboteur assessment. I had done this and it was really, really quite informative because there's like, I think about nine or 11 saboteurs that show up. And my number one was people pleasing. And once you can do that, then you can actually start to witness where the people pleaser or the avoider or, you know, the perfectionist is showing up in your world and ultimately robbing you of joy. You might not be able to see it now, but I'm sure if you sat back and really reflected on it, you'd be able to really wrap your head around where I'm going with this. And maybe we'll pick that up in a separate show. So here's the final piece of this puzzle is the people and how do we create joy in the workplace. So once you've lifted the energy and you've started working on yourself and healing your own wounds, then we can start to look at the people because now you're in a better space, right? So now you will relate to your people in a very different way instead of feeling defensive. Because you might not like what you're hearing or what they're saying or how they're showing up, you can witness it through a very different lens and begin to guide and coach them on, you know, these things that, you know, will help them as well find joy in the workspace. So this stuff is all very practical. So the first thing that we started doing was creating opportunities to relate with our people and in fun ways, right? So this is genuinely where the joy actually begins to come in. Like we wanted them to begin to actually have fun and not just have it all be so humdrum and monotonous and, you know, so on and so forth. So we would do things where people, like most people tend to be pretty competitive in this workspace. And so we took them out and we would do games and we would like do things that would allow them to like just literally let their hair down and relate with each other in a way that was like really human. Because I think sometimes in the workplace, we can forget that I'm more than, you know, your boss. I'm more than, you know, this, whatever you might perceive me as. Like I'm a whole human being who is a mom and, you know, a daughter and a friend and, you know, all of these other things. Like I'm so many more things than this role that I play at work. And sometimes we really forget the human piece of it, even though we are interacting with humans. So that was the first thing that we did. We started to invite opportunities where people could get real human with it. The second thing we did, and this one shocked me, is that we created opportunities for them to allow their creative juices to flow. And I think the reason why this shocked me is because I don't see, like there are creatives in the environment that I'm in, but it's not in the way that I'm used to seeing it. And that's what I would say. So we put together, we were doing a launch of our core values or like a fresh up on our core values, I'll say. And we really wanted people to like have ownership of what these core values were. So what we did was we said, okay, we really asked people to lean in and like identify what the core value meant to them, because my idea of something and your idea of something might be two totally different things. The English language can be really limiting, or language itself can be very limiting. So we invited them to like really lean into and own and embody, because that's really what a core value is. You have to embody it. So we invited them to do that. And what we did from there was we said, okay, we got them to work in like small groups. And they had to like present on their core value, and then they had to like infuse a creative piece with it. And I'm smiling because I remember the day before we had this this presentation, like people were kind of like, oh, I gotta get my presentation together. I'm like, presentation? What are we presenting on? And they're like, on the core values. And I was like, oh, they're coming with presentations. So they really leaned in. And I was so happy because during this whole core value presentation, people came with poetry, people had done like little videos, people had done artwork. Like I was blown away. Like everybody leaned in and participated. And you know what that told me is that people really, really wanted the opportunity to like let this side of them out. So it was such an awesome thing to witness because there was genuinely excitement about it. And then, I mean, we took it one step further from that. We made sure to like utilize the pieces that our people had created to like, you know, we put it into like wallpapers. And I mean, we're going to do other things with it as well. But we wanted our people to understand that their creation should be reflected in the work that we do every single day, so that when you see your core value, accountability or collaboration or any of these things, you can really begin to lean in because you did that. You and your team put that together. So it was really, really, really successful. And I strongly encourage, because they had a lot of fun with it. So there was obviously joy that was infused into this very creative endeavor. The next thing that we do is, we have town halls. Now, town halls are, you know, probably pretty par for the course in most organizations. But what we started doing with the town halls is I kind of asked the HR manager to set the tone. And the tone that I asked her to set for the town halls was that you had to be like, when you were giving your feedback, whatever it is, so you could speak your mind, but it had to be done in a way that helped other people understand that you weren't tearing them down. So, you know, as an example, it would be something like, you know, I tried to like do this thing and, you know, because this didn't happen. So not necessarily pointing your finger at somebody, but like saying, because this particular thing didn't happen, unfortunately, I wasn't able to do this. So once we started setting the tone at the beginning of a town hall, because let's face it, town halls can be, it's an opportunity for people to vent. So they can be a little bit of a downer. But I noticed that like once we started kind of putting these frameworks in place, it naturally lifted the meeting. People weren't coming angry. People weren't leaving angry. People didn't even feel like they weren't being heard because we had set this very positive intention and this very positive energy before going in. And like I said, setting the container so that people could speak their truth, but in a way that wasn't going to bring down the overall vibe of like what the point of a town hall is, which is to have effectiveness, right? Okay. And then moving on, this kind of like bleeds right in naturally to communication. Now you might be like, well, how does communication bring joy? Well, quite easily actually, because think about yourself. When you are, you know, in an environment or in a situation where you don't feel like you're being heard, you don't feel like people understand you. You don't feel like there's like zero connection when it comes to language. It makes it very, very difficult to feel any type of positivity. So clear is kind. Brené Brown said it in Dare to Lead, and I could not agree with her more. Now, for leaders, I get it. You can't tell everybody everything in the business. And that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like to know that their leaders know where they're going and that they can trust the direction that you are taking people in. So when I say, you know, especially in times, like if we think back a little bit to COVID, which was like a really tough time for many people, the reality is like the leaders who really, really succeeded were the leaders who could understand that people were scared. People were scared for their health. People were scared for their families. The world was feeling very chaotic. Nobody knew what was going on. And the leaders that could see that and speak to that and be honest and say, you know what? I get it. It's scary, but we're going to get through it and really just say, and even if they could say, I don't really know what's going to happen, but as soon as I know, I'm going to give you an answer. Interestingly enough, even that is like a way to really incite the beginnings of joy anyways, because people kind of breathe have a sense of relief because you're acknowledging what their fear is. And if we acknowledge what people's fear is, it begins to, like I said, it allows us to release the fear and allow joy to begin to come to the surface. Next on my list, and this is kind of fun for me, is like the inner child. But before we talk about the inner child, we do have our final break coming up. So when we come back, we will talk about the final piece of this, which is the inner child and how playing with the inner child, for lack of putting it a better way, will allow joy to really come to the surface. So when we come back, we will talk about the inner child.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I'm, of course, Charisse Alexander, your host of Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. So before the break, I was talking about leadership, and we were talking about the real human aspect of it and the practical ways that we can begin to open up and allow for those really joyful moments to come through. And so just to kind of recap what we were talking about before the break, number one is you need, as a leader, to create opportunities to relate with your people and humanize yourself, right? Which can sometimes be difficult as owners and bosses and C-suite when there's like so many responsibilities. Like, how do you relate with your people? Well, it's quite simple. Just relate with them. So create the opportunity. And the example that I gave is we had taken our team to like a gaming center and just they played games and got competitive and they had a great time and it was fantastic. The second thing that we did was we created creative opportunities. And the one that we used recently was around a refresh on the core values and giving people an avenue to really allow that creative outlet to come out. And I'm going to pause on the creative piece for a second, because this is like really so paramount when it comes to creating joy. And I recently had a colleague on the podcast, and this is exactly something we were talking about, because, you know, we talk about going to work and doing our job and being productive and so on and so forth. But let's face it, a lot of people work in an environment or might be in a job where they don't have joy and they don't have passion for it. And so I was talking to them one day, and one of the ladies said to another lady, she's like, well, you like fashion. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, so why don't you do like TikToks on, you know, the fashionable outfit that you're wearing for the day? Like, you're young and you're fashionable and you're a professional. So like, why not do this thing? And it turned into a whole thing. And like, I'm not kidding you, it like totally changed how she shows up. She's not so angry. She doesn't seem so disengaged. Like, it's fun. She enjoys it. She loops other people into it. And now it's like even gone beyond that. Now it's like they do things with the CEO, like, you know, doing their TikTok challenge thing. Sorry, I did not do TikTok, so I just don't know anything about it. But the point I'm getting at is like, it gave them a way to, number one, connect in a way where we can humanize each other. Number two, it gave her a creative outlet. Number three, she was absolutely passionate about fashion. Number four, she's having fun. And so what happens? She's engaged. And that's what we wanted. So just by pointing her in the direction of doing something that she was passionate about and could be creative about, leaders, please do not underestimate the power of creativity. It can unlock a world of juiciness in your team. So that's what I wanted to see about creativity. We'll come back to that momentarily. We were moving on to town halls. So again, setting the intention, you know, just setting a safe container, and started off as the leader or the HR person, started off in a very positive way. Yes, let people speak, but let it be productive and positive. Communication, as I said, Brené Brown said it best, clear is kind. And that what she was referring to is clear communication is kind. And then right before the break, I was talking about the inner child. So this is where the joy really comes about, because when we let our inner child come out to play, that's where the magic happens. And I think something to be mindful of here is, like, I don't know about you guys, but like, sometimes when I sit and just kind of think about the past and when I was a kid, and somebody had asked me one day, they're like, what was your favorite memory from being a kid? And hands down, 3 seconds, I could like say it. And it was like, I'm going to take you guys back in time, but it was like back in the 80s. And it was like, you'd wake up, it's a July summer day, the sky is blue, there's not a cloud in the sky, the sun is beating down on you, all your friends come knocking on your door, they want you to grab your bike, so there's no cell phones, there's no walkie-talkies, it's literally, bye mom, and you're gone for the entire day. And it was freedom, but it was fun. And that is really where your inner child got to come out and play. And you just, that is the feeling that I'm talking about. So I'm not saying start your workday by going to jump on a bicycle with your friends and, you know, freewheel it around the neighborhood. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that feeling is the inner child that you are after. So how can you do that on a daily basis? So the example that I actually just gave was around the young lady in our workplace who maybe was not feeling as engaged. And as soon as we were able to like tap into what made her really, really excited, we got to see a very different side of her. So the point I'm trying to get at is like, play with different things and you will begin to see this totally different side of your people where they are engaged because they're relating with you, you know, on a very human level where they will feel like, oh, you're getting to see a very different side of them. And I promise you, there was another thing that we had done. I just remembered we had a culture day. They loved this. So in Nigeria, there's like many different tribes, but we had a day where people could like wear different native attire from their particular tribe and bring like a potluck and things like that. And I remember the feedback from that was like, it was really quite positive because people felt like they got an opportunity to show a side of them that you wouldn't normally get to see because they're so entrenched in like getting the work done. So really all that I'm talking about here is about thinking outside of the box. And I get it, business owners, I totally understand it. You're thinking about your shareholders and your clients and your stakeholders and, you know, compliance and legal and your staff, and the list goes on when you are running a business. But let's not forget, people run your business. And the magic sauce is when you can figure out how to really relate with your people and unlock the joy inside of them. So all of the things that I'm talking about, you can take it, you can leave it, you can, you know, tweak it, you can take different parts of it. But just to recap, kind of what this entire episode was about. So the first thing that we talked about at the very beginning was about raising the energetic or clearing the energetic space. And the energetic space was about, you know, saging and Palo Santo and setting a positive intention. That was the first thing. The second thing that we talked about was really looking at yourself as a leader and really identifying those parts of yourself that maybe needed healing, that were maybe being actually reflected back to you in the business that you're running and the way that your people are showing up. And then the third thing that we talked about was now really providing opportunities for people to discover the inner child and to be creative and to really have these relatable, very human moments. And when you put all of this together, this is where the magic really starts to happen. But there's a couple of things that I want to just make sure that you're really mindful of when you start on this journey. The first thing I want you to remember is that it does take time. It's not an overnight process. There's going to be forward movement. There's going to be people that don't understand what you're doing, don't even understand why you're doing it. But what I want to say to you is stay strong and hold the course. That's going to be the first thing. It will take time. The second thing is it's a process. So what I'm suggesting may work for you. You might need to refine it. You have to refine it for your environment. And the last thing, of course, is request constant feedback. Always ask for the feedback because that's how you adjust. So thank you so much for joining me today on Sacred Leadership with Charisse. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.